I'm Stephen Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, and this is the Land Academy Show.
This is episode 1995, and today we are talking about what your land acquisitions need to look like to survive the recession that's going to happen here in 2024. And a little bit later, we're going to talk about working with your spouse.
Yay! That's what I think.
So much fun to work with your spouse.
It's the best thing when people go, wait a minute, and you guys, you live together? Uh-huh. You travel together, uh-huh. And you work together, uh-huh. And you're here at the bar drinking together, uh-huh. Now you know why we drink.
That's the result of that.
Here we go. But we're still laughing.
I feel compelled to quote Homer Simpson.
Uh-oh.
Alcohol is the cause of and the cure for everything.
There we go. That's great, babe. That obviously sung to you 12 years ago.
Yep.
And you're, there we go. That's awesome. All right. So what are we going to talk about today? So land that are surviving. This is the interesting. I've had a lot of conversations. I'm glad you picked this topic. I've had a lot of conversations with people recently who are coming to us because of this. They're like, hey, I looked around, you know, I've got so much figured out now. I understand there's money to be made in land, and it checks all those boxes. And now I'm trying to figure out, you know, who's best to show me the way and navigate this, because you're not the only ones anymore. I'm like, nope, you're right. And we know that we're coming to you because you've been through a thing or two. Yep, you're right. I mean, come on. We didn't, like you just said last week, it's been 30 years that we've been doing this, and pushing, we have around 17,000 transactions. I always clarify, that's not Land Academy. That's us, mostly him. And then, you know, we've been through three trends.
This will be our third full professional recession.
And we are still here. And boy, I can even remember since I got involved in 2009, you know, I can remember the actual names of people that were other investors with us, yeah, and who didn't gone weather forever. The storm.
Yeah.
You know, they're alive, but they did not weather the storm. And I feel bad.
We're going to talk about how to avoid that here in just a minute. All of those key points.
This is good.
Each week on the show, we answer questions from our Land Academy member Discord forum, review land acquisitions from our weekly member webinars, and we take a deep dive into two land-related topics by popular requests.
Okay.
We have a question, Joe.
Yes.
I have to say.
What?
I love this question. And I'll read it if you want, because I would like you to answer it.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Troy says, today I called up three realtors for a price opinion in a new area to me. Realtor one was driving and asked if I could text her the APN and she would get back to me by the end of the day. End of day is here and gone. No email, no callback. Realtor number two. Must have let her two-year-old pick up the phone, say something about her toy in two-year-old gibberish, and then immediately hang up. Right away, I get a call back, but it must have been a butt dial since I could only hear distant conversation in the background while I said, hello, hello, hello. Realtor number three.
This is real. I believe all this.
I don't think this person's not
Troy's,
making this stuff
Troy's,
up.
This is real.
This is real life.
Oh, yeah.
Realtor number three was an older gentleman who was driving but claimed to sell more land than anyone else and gave me a quick price based on acres in the area. Oh, now we're getting somewhere. I offered to text him the details to take a closer look when I wasn't driving, and he just said, with zero enthusiasm, I guess if that's what you want. I have a gut feeling he isn't going to take a closer look. So before I announce this possible deal to every realtor in the area... where the owner still lives, does anyone have a realtor recommendation in XYZ County, Florida?
This is real. Do you remember the other day I was looking at a property in Colorado and I came into you and I said, this agent doesn't want to sell. She actually pushed back. So I have a fourth one. This is all very real. I'm going to go, Troy, with number four, what happened to me the other day. I'm like, hi, my name is Jill. I'm not an agent. I'm interested in this property. I have some questions about it, you know, kind of thing. And the bottom line was, it was an older ranch. And then there's a newer ranch really nearby. And I'm like, why would I spend this when I had some questions. I'm like, you know, what's going on here? What's the situation? You know, kind of thing. Who are they? Do they even really want to sell? Oh yeah, they want to sell. They mom moved out. The kids got it. They went like, well, I'm like, okay, we then you do realize, you know, on the other side of the river, there's a very similar, much newer property, you know, for not much more. Like, you know, I could buy that instead of this. And she's like, then maybe you should. I'm like, wow. And I think for me, what happened, I'll tell you right now. She's a stinky agent. And I think, I don't know, because I really tried. I thought maybe I came across like I knew too much. But I was trying to just nicely let her know I've done my homework. I'm not wasting your time. I quickly said who I am. I'm not an agent. I'm personally interested in this property. I looked at this and this and this. And these are the only other questions that I have left. You know, it was about, I had two questions, current condition and, you know, because is that justify this price? Which it didn't. So anyway, I feel bad. Like in these situations, Troy, too, whoever these agents are and whatever people have property listed with them, I feel bad because they're not going to sell. Realtor number one, you know, not taking it seriously, didn't get back to you, not even a text. There's no reason to say you. She shouldn't have said, I'll get back to you by the end of the day unless she really could. She should have said, you know what? I'll get back to you the end of the week. I need 48 hours, whatever it is. Should have been realistic. And then if she couldn't meet that, let you know, like, hey, something came up. I am going to look at this. Can I let you know tomorrow by noon? And then really follow through. That's what should happen. Number two, again, I am sure this is real. Like, talk about nuts and not taking your job seriously. Gosh, could you imagine if I didn't take my job seriously like this? How funny is this? And then number three, you know, I love that he knew the area, but what did he just has too many listings. He doesn't need one more. Who would ever say that? But maybe that, but you know what? There are people that say that now that I think about it. We have an accountant, our accountant, who does a really good job. We have come to him many times over the years and said, can you bring on more clients? Because, you know, our Land Academy people, we have some, you know, not far from us that would love to use you. And he's like, nope, I've got enough clients and I don't really want to open up tomorrow. And I'm like, who does that? So you know what, Stephen, I'm going to tell you this. I've got enough deals. I don't really want any more. Can you imagine? Not true. So I hope that Troy, you did everything right. And I would do what you're doing. I would keep calling until I get the right person. The right person is going to personally answer their phone. Here's an example of the one of my recent stories a repeat story that I tell about our agent that I love. It was Friday night about 6 o'clock and I called him and he's like, hi. He answers the phone as he's walking away from the table in a restaurant. So that's, you know, you get points for that right there. Number one. Number two, listens to me and tells me, hey, I'm out to dinner with my family. How are you? What? How can I help you? I love that. Hey, well, you know what? Thanks for telling me that. Thanks. Here's a deal. I just got this property in. I want to know what you think about it. It's over in this area. Are you familiar with that? Does that sound like something you can do? Heck yeah. You know what? I'm going to be driving around that area on Sunday. You know, and I'm like, awesome. Do you want me to text you or email you? You know what? Text is great. If you just, as soon as I hang up, you know, or even leave me a voicemail. One time there, I said, here, I'll hang up. Call me back. I won't answer the phone. Leave it in the voicemail. Perfect. All the details. And then I will do that and I'll get back to you, you know, Sunday night or Monday morning, whatever. That's a perfect thing. Because, you know, here's my whole point here. The person who takes your call to get you as a client is going to do a good job selling it. Because I need someone that buyers are going to be able, I need a buyer to call and I need them to answer the phone, period. That's it.
I have a couple of points to make. Yeah. I think you have to ask yourself, we have to all ask ourselves this take a step back question. You know, what is the point of a real estate agent? And actually, ask a real estate agent this. You know, why am I going to hire you?
Oh, you're going to get all kinds of answers.
9 times out of 10, they're not going to know.
Right.
So because what they really believe in this day and age is that they're processing paperwork. Many of them have no idea that we can go do we can buy and sell a property ourselves without any help from a real estate agent or from a title agent, with, you know, without bending any laws or rules. And so you have to ask yourself then, okay, well, that's the facts. Then what the heck am I hiring this real estate agent for? And a real estate agent is supposed to add some serious value to the deal, not just process paperwork. It's the same thing with lawyers. Lawyers believe this day and age, their job is to process paperwork and navigate the system because you don't know how to do it.
True.
And so in the land case here, or in the real estate case, I actually do know exactly what I'm doing. I'm calling you because I'd like to outsource it. And I'd like you to convince me that you're going to bring some value to the deal. In Jill's number four case, she's not going to bring any value to the deal. She's just processing paperwork. In fact, you're inconveniencing her by calling her. She just wants an offer by it from another real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can together process the paperwork, collect the check, and complain.
Mm-hmm.
The bigger picture of what's going on here is this. I just read an article about why car insurance has gone up in the 20% in the last year. And whoever wrote this article, I really hope it wasn't AI because it was wonderfully written, gave some real factual scenarios of what was going on. It started in COVID. And people who are the number one law enforcement during COVID, if you can remember and watch any TV at all, you know, defund the police, that whole movement, that never really went away. So sporadic and terrible driving is now going ridiculously unmonitored and unpunished. Especially, I can tell you, I can vouch for that here. Number one. Oh. Number two, everything costs more. So it costs more to labor and it costs more to repair a car. So insurance it's higher. And the electronics, the cars around Scottsdale are driving themselves. So there's a lot of electronics in a car that wasn't there in 10 years ago.
True.
So the repairs are way, way more expensive. And the final point that they made was, which is what my point here, is that drivers got a sense of entitlement and a sense of personal, this is me in the road, get the hell out of my way.
True.
As a result of COVID. And I think that has come into play in all of our lives. There's a sense of people who would have regularly been at work to pay their bills and to try to get ahead in life like the rest of us were falsely encouraged that they didn't have to go to work.
Right.
And they got this sense of, I've got all this power now. I don't need to do this. This is below me.
Right.
And it translated itself into real estate agents just have, they have an attitude that I haven't seen prior to
COVID.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're right.
I see it in everything. I see it in you see it in the grocery store.
True. It's nuts.
Today's first topic, what your land acquisition needs to look like to survive this looming recession in 2024. I will tell you this. Let's start from the end of your real estate deal and go to the beginning before you even buy the property to see if it's going to work. And here's what the sale of your land acquisition looks like, so you can throw some cash into the deal and then get more cash out at the end. That sale process and that sale dollar, you better have the cheapest property in the market.
Not reset the market. People still try to do that. I'm like, why are you doing that?
If there's 10,
you're gonna fail.
5-acre properties that are like-kind acquisitions potential that are for sale, you better have the cheapest, best one.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what real estate looks like during a recession. There's a lot more of it for sale.
Mm-hmm.
It's cheaper. And in general, you can negotiate a better deal as a buyer. It's buyer's market.
Mm-hmm.
So your job as a land acquisition specialist, and put this on yourself like we do, is to go in even cheaper, send out more mail, and negotiate harder.
Mm-hmm.
Because here's the good news. This is all spells good news for you, by the way. I love down markets. Up markets are harder for us anyway, in our personality types. Down markets, there are a lot more people and a lot more factors involved in why people choose to sell land. So there's more acquisition candidates for you. People need money. They're moving. They changed jobs. They got laid off. The kids couldn't get into the school that they wanted to, so they got to move across country, on and on and on. And so all that spells acquisition opportunity for you. You just got to buy it super cheap. We just got out of CareerPath and somebody brought up a question. Somebody in CareerPath is not satisfied with how much property they're buying. And so their answer was, well, I'm just going to offer more. Mm. Worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
What you can do is choose better places to send mail.
Yep.
Price it better, price it lower. And take Jill's job in all this and be a Jill.
Yeah.
Create a real estate deal where there wasn't one 2 hours ago.
True.
On the phone.
Not money. It's not money. People think that too. So many of our transactions is not about the money. It's about the timing and us.
We made so much money around 2010 and 11, Jill and I, buying and selling houses and land.
Mm-hmm.
There are, you get these people on the phone and I'll tell you, you can pretty much tell them how much you're going to pay.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody. And I'm not advocating kick them when they're down at mm-hmm. all. I'm just saying, if somebody says, I got your letter and I really do want to sell, I'm not saying, oh, then, you know, if it was $10,000 for your offer, then get them down to five.
No.
I'm not advocating that ever. We don't do that.
No.
But if 10,000 works because you priced the mailer correctly and all that, then say, great, let's process your deal.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get you paid out of this thing.
I completely agree. You know what? I was thinking about this topic today. I was just thinking about people who aren't... One of the things that we do correctly, and we always have because you designed it this way, was we buy and we sell and we own it in the middle. I'm not running around with a piece of paper. I'm trying to imagine how scary it would be right now in 2024 to have equitable title on 100 properties and run around trying to sell them and all the things that can go wrong with that.
She's talking about wholesaling.
Exactly. So I'm like,
yeah, especially in this opportunity scenario.
That's my point.
Why would you let that opportunity go?
That's the thing. I keep going.
Shouldn't jeopardize it.
I'm going to say it right now for everyone listening here. I don't care where your deal, who you are. You do not have to be in Land Academy. I'm not going to let a good deal go to waste. We are not going to do that. So you could throw it up in front of us. You know, don't run around with a piece of paper because you don't have the money to buy it. I have the money to buy it. If it's that great, let's do it. Let's own it. And feel great about it and not worry about losing it. Because I think people in these times get worried about putting money down. And so they're happy that they could be celebrating that they have a piece of paper. But I'm like, too many things can go wrong with that too. Just buy it. Get it for the best price that you feel good about it.
Let's take a look at one of our favorite land acquisitions from our weekly Thursday member webinar.
Who'd you do this deal? Spartanburg County, South Carolina. 6.3 acres.
Wow.
Purchase price $77,000. I love Jeez. That from the looks here.
Look at this.
Thinks we can sell it for $150. I'm liking that too. Access, yes. Affordable, yes. Adjacent, yes. Alive, yes. Oh, these are the ones I love. Original owner mm-hmm. since the 70s.
Yep.
Sellers were going to build. This is just the classic Land Academy story. Mm-hmm. They were going to build there and they decided to live in North Carolina close to their family. It's been unused for 50 years. It has timber and it's paved. Gas, electricity, and water right there at the property.
5 stars so far. We just got to check the
price.
Now
I'm trying to find something wrong with it.
We got to check the price of these houses and stuff. Yeah, it's out of a storybook. Oh, look at all these new houses.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. I hope the houses are worth at least 3 or 4.
What's that pond thing right there? Somebody's yard.
It's a pond thing, I think.
Okay. I think Chelsea's doing a would you brag about this deal.
Me too, which is good.
Uh-huh.
Better than would you cry about this deal.
That's true.
0 properties for sale, 30 sold. These are prop lots, just land, 5 to 10 acres in that zip code. All land, 169 sold. I'm going to do 6 months here. 46 sold. And just a few active for all properties, and they're all tiny. This is a smoking deal.
I'm a thumbs up.
I mean, let's check these housing prices. Like, I bet this is probably expensive.
Chelsea's trying to get it cheaper, which I love too.
I just sent you one that's pending. That's 2 acres. That's like pretty close to it.
276, and that's the house that's right behind it.
77.
That's I have 50 would be better, but I think that you're going to do fine at 77, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I would list it for 150.
Yeah.
Yeah, just like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Jill, when does Land Academy Ladies air? And can you get, can you tell us about Land Academy Ladies or not?
Well, currently Land Academy Ladies, in its current form, is a monthly get together of women who are members or related to partners, business partners, some other extension of a Land Academy member. We meet once a month and we have a separate thread in Discord where we communicate and talk about our own stuff and our own deals in there. It's working on evolving this year, and it's going to be announced in April. So the week of April 22nd after tax time, this is the first time I've ever even dropped this little nugget. There's going to be some big announcements coming with Land Academy, everything that we do, and the ladies. So I'll just leave it at that. But the main thing is, we are getting more and more female investors, and man, these ladies are amazing. The women that find us and jump in Land Academy, I'm gonna say percentage wise, have been more successful. No offense, than the men. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because of how we are. Maybe it goes back to good news, bad news. You know, bad news is we don't jump in anything until we think we have 80% of it figured out. Good news is, boy, when we jump in, out of my way, because we've got 80% of it already figured out. Maybe that's it. You know, we've done all our homework by the time they get to us and they get to me.
I have a theory.
It's awesome. What is it?
If you're a woman and you're a land investor, then you're choosing Land Academy.
That's true.
Because there's no other real logical, ultra women-friendly environment to be in.
True.
I think that's a lot of it. So yeah. We get really amazing investors. You do.
We do.
In that group.
I do.
So even, you know, I love that. I'm sure there's a bunch of young girls and women in there being inspired by older, successful women. And there needs to be more of that in the world.
I agree. Thank you very much.
Let's take another question posted by one of our members on the Land Academy Discord online community.
All right. Umair wrote, "Hi, everyone. I'm a new member, but not very new to this land investing / land flipping world. I started in this business a few months back, and I'm excited to be part of this group. I'm a certified civil engineer in Texas, so I'm very familiar with the industry. I've been a part of other businesses before, hoping my professional skills can translate to this business. My wife and I just had a baby in August, and now more than ever, I want to create financial security and achieve financial freedom. My first goal is to increase my income through this business enough so my wife can quit her job. Then I will follow. I'm going after it and hope you guys can assist along the way, because it is frightening. For me, what's more frightening is coming back to the work at the age of 60 and having someone else determine if I can put food on the table or not. Let's do this. I have huge goals for 2024.
You're going to do great.
It's awesome.
Well, well said, well written. I love your professional background choice.
Mm-hmm.
Congratulations on the baby and the whole thing.
Yeah.
Now let's get cracking. And I love this go forward attitude.
I do too.
You're going to do absolutely great.
I love when people have big goals. I'm always like, go higher. Just say it. Just do it. Say it. I don't care how crazy it sounds. Say it and get it out there. Nothing's nuts. All right, Jill, my goal is $4 million this year. Awesome. Let's see what that looks like. Whatever it is. Thank you.
Today's second topic is called working with your spouse.
I'm going to stay quiet
right now just because
I don't have anything.
That's what I do while I work with Jill.
Oh, stop.
Just remain quiet.
We're both like, nothing. I got nothing.
No. This is an actual sentence I said at a dinner party last Thanksgiving to all of our close friends and family. It's taken me 14 years to realize this. I can't work with Jill.
Oh. That's funny.
No, we've worked it out. But in general, if we were working with each other the way that we started out working with each other 14 years ago or 15 years ago or whatever it was, we would not be working with each other right now. It took, just like when you in your land business, you got to roll with it, change it, make some changes, and
Was it me?
And fix stuff as it's not working. Like, here's an example. You know, we worked in the same office in the beginning when we were buying and selling land together. True. It's been more than that. It's been 15 years.
Yeah.
In fact, we even were working on the same deals together.
Oh, that
was a
problem.
Disaster.
We learned that one first. That was,
you know, we're both negotiating the same deal. So if we still did that, we'd never get a deal done. Long ago, it would never have worked. But we ultimately decided I'm better at acquisition. She's better at sales, or I'm better at data, I should say. And she's better with people. You know, we now work in very separate geographic locations with separate staff. And she's, you know, I'm primarily involved in very, very different things than she is. I'm a very good startup, big picture, next product person. And Jill is a very, she's just fantastic with the real estate deals and has built her own staff that they all understand each other and can get very effectively get deals done without my involvement. So the fact is, we're on screen together all the time, and this is the truth. But that's about it. We don't really work with each other all day, day in and day out at all. And so if you're working with your spouse, please have a good, long, serious, unemotional conversation with that other person about what they want and listen and implement. Don't be afraid to separate stuff.
Yeah,
that's what saved us.
You should do that.
Yeah.
You know, what's better than that, actually, when you can say, I trust you and you're better at that and you want to do it, run. Great. Mm-hmm. I'll stay out of your way. Call me if you need me for anything.
I have to tell you, too, there's a huge element of luck here because I don't know how this happened, but Jill just is a people person and I'm more of a data person. If we were both data people, we would try together then, I guess, to...
no one would answer the phone.
Find a people person. Or if we were both salespeople and nothing would get done.
Oh, that's
it would
true.
Never get a mail
nothing
around.
Would have got out. It's true. That's actually really funny in that. It's true. I like it. I'm trying to think, but it's challenging. You know, from day one of Land Academy, people have come to us and said, I want my wife to be involved, my husband to be involved. I get them listening to you, I'm going to get them motivated and we're going to jump into this and be a team just like you guys. And it's going to be beautiful. Okay. Hold on a moment.
You will never motivate your spouse. I'm telling you that. She just said, I'm going to get them motivated. No, you're not.
Yeah, it's true. It does. And it's a very, it's not easy. It's not for everyone. And I want to point that out because I don't want you to think there's anything wrong with you if you're like, we tried it and it didn't work. And that's okay.
That's the norm.
Mm-hmm. That's okay. We tried it and it didn't work. Just kidding.
15 times. And probably 2 years now, I think we've pretty much figured it out.
Yeah, we do. And a lot of it is, you know what? You just, like you said, you have to be honest with each other and have conversations and let the other person. I really love that. When you have honest conversations and you divide up the tasks, and you let the other person run with them and you stay out of it. Because if you butt in, now they're not doing it. And it's going to end in a fiery ball of tears.
I didn't think you were going to say that. I was going to say it, but better coming from you.
I kind of took your saying. I did it before you did.
The problem is this, you know, think about where you work or where you have worked. I don't care where it's, I don't care if it's Starbucks or, you know, a public accounting firm or everything in between. You know, when your coworker says or does some silly stuff, they just become like, that's the silly guy. Hmm. Or, you know, that's the guy that, you know, cooks fish every Wednesday and the company microwave and stinks up the entire warehouse. You know, but if your wife does that, it's not funny.
No.
It's like you dig in and find out what's wrong with their personality. And so you have to really consciously not do that. You know, I don't know why we do this in our relationships. Just people just destroy the other person's soul and break them down. It's just not, you don't
it's
do
not
that.
Healthy.
If you work in a warehouse with six people, you don't do that to each other.
You can't.
There's this little veil of courtesy that doesn't seem to happen between two married people who work together.
Well,
and there needs to be a veil of courtesy. I'm here to tell you.
In the warehouse scenario, you might not make it to your car that night.
No, I think in a marriage situation, that's also true.
Huh. You know, I can think about, I'm like, what could be worse? And all I can think about is these commercials that we have we're in the Phoenix area, and we have these commercials of the husband and wife law team. What the heck? Could you imagine? They probably threatened to sue each other once a week.
They probably have.
Yeah, probably. There's probably 16 restraining orders that they've each filed on each other. Could you imagine? Like that would not be fun.
Look, it takes a lot of humor, and it takes a huge amount of boundaries.
Patience. You know,
and then if you're going to add your kids into it, and when Jill and I have three children, and all three of them have at one time worked for us.
Yeah.
And it's all past tense now. Because the notion of a family business, it's not, we don't have crops to harvest or a country store.
Right.
You know, we can go get our own labor. And so the notion of a true mom and pop family business is gone. It's not a good idea.
I believe that.
We should teach a class. Because I can tell you exactly step by step all the stuff you're going to go through. And the whole key is to try not to let one of those steps just house of cards the whole thing down.
True.
Let's take a look at another one of our favorite land acquisitions from our weekly Thursday member webinar.
Would you this deal? Chester County, South Carolina. 1.6 acres. Accepted offer price, $5,100. Sell price, I think we can sell it for $13,500. The lowest similarly zoned property lot sold for $17,500 on Redfin. County road access seems affordable. Adjacent our house, there's a house and a business. It's across the street from the lake. The lot is half cleared and it looks like a nice scenic area overall. My main question is, have you guys ever gone through and requested as for a zoning variance? Looked up how the procedure is for this city and it seems pretty simple with a $150 fee. I want to have an exception made so I could put a mobile home on it. You could only put a regular home on it, which would make this lot take a lot longer to sell. If you can put a mobile on it, I imagine it'll sell very quickly. And for more, even you can talk about that.
I've never gone through a zoning variance because I have never found a area where we buy land that's compliant with that. They've always made it, you know, it's like pulling teeth. So this could be a place where that's not the case, that it's $150, they rubber stamp it and you're good. I hope that's the case.
Here's the thing is, you have a brick house next to it, right? You're going to need that neighbor's compliance as well when you do a zoning variance. And I can tell you right now that neighbor is going to fight that mobile exemption. Yeah. So you're going to hope that he doesn't go to that meeting.
There you go.
And so for exactly what Carl's saying,
he's going to show up.
I'd show up.
Yeah.
Look, this passes the adjacent test with flying colors, and you're about to pay $5,000 for this. So,
yeah.
If these properties are anywhere worth, and we'll check in 1 second on each side, if these properties are worth more than $100,000, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be.
All right, I just sent to the neighbor's house.
226. I would stop right here and buy this.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't worry about that variance.
I wouldn't either. I absolutely agree.
I don't think you're going to get the variance if you try.
And I would list this for $22,500 based on a 10% value of the neighbor's property.
Mm-hmm. And they'll probably buy it.
Yep. And please promise that you'll put a sign out there the day that you just have the sign ready to go with the photographer or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody thinks we should buy it or not?
Mm-hmm.
I would buy it.
I would buy it from that. Yeah.
That's a trifecta again. Jill, I have something and several questions that I think will inspire, hopefully inspire listeners.
Okay. Bring it.
What inspires you to get up in the morning and buy and sell land on a normal day? Because there's a lot less going on in our lives right now. All the kids are out of the house. You know, we're in a super, super good shape financially. Most of the people and staff are happy. Most of our Land Academy customers are happy and our staff's happy. Like, so
like,
now
are you done? Why do you still do this?
We're a little bit, yeah. Well, just in general, what you seem to me to be very inspired And I don't believe that there's no, like, put a happy face on in the morning for you. I think you wake up happy and deal ready.
That's it. You know what? Doing deals is my number one thing. That fuels everything else. And I think when I realized I'm a land person, I just love it. Land more even than a house. I love land and scenery and nature and animals. You know, like when we go away for the summer, you know, we're outdoors. We are so outdoorsy people. You know, we're on our bikes and doing all kinds of kind of fun exploring things. So to me, so... how does that translate to what I do every day? Looking at a new piece of property is a new area. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Every single, I'm like, ooh, I see what's there and what's possible. Every time a deal comes into me, I look at it. I'm like, okay, where's the town? Where's, oh, look, it's on a river. What's going on here? What are the trees like? How beautiful is that? I can easily transport myself mentally onto that piece of property. And then I think that translates into, I can get inspired and talk to the seller and get it. And then I can be further inspired and talk to a buyer and help them fall in love with it too. So I think in my soul, I love land.
I'm going to throw you under the bus a little bit here, all in the name of a massive compliment.
Okay.
When I met Jill, she was very, very inspired and got up in the morning. She was in a core W-2 job, sure. Like punch a clock W-2 job. And she was very, what motivated her was time off. Sure. Whether it was a weekend or a vacation or whatever, we would obviously take vacations together. And she would spend the first part of the vacation planning the next vacation before she could enjoy that one. So sure. You come a long way from a mental standpoint about, I think we're all supposed to enjoy getting up in the morning and doing stuff that we want to do.
True.
Not wait for the weekend or plan for a vacation.
Exactly.
It's good to hear you. You know what? I'm motivated by the same thing. That moment where you get a new deal in and you look at it and you're like, this actually could work. We should probably look into it further. We can do this deal.
Well, you know what else? When you really think about it, that we have had many companies over the years, some not land related at all. We've always had land rolling in the background though. And we've never once had a business or company that has the same margins.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll just be honest here. I love being my own boss. I will never go back.
Oh, I like getting rich.
Yeah, that too. So, you know, no, you can quickly get to a position in your life, in this business, where you can be your own boss and set your own schedule. I mean, that's it. If I wake up in the morning and I have a meeting at 9, it's because I scheduled it. I have the complete control over everything that I do. And so does every other full-time investor.
And that meeting, whatever it is, and whoever it's with, is getting toward the goal that you set for yourself anyway. It's like getting you, whatever it ends up being, being more wealthy, doing more deals. You know, it's for some reason, it's not some staff meeting that somebody set to hit their goals.
Right. Thank you. That was really good. How about you? What do you have to share with us today?
So I'm going
to
do my side of that.
Okay.
Ready. I have to tell you that I really believe in what we do for a living. Yeah. I have been, like probably everybody, in many situations where I don't believe in the product that I'm selling. I don't believe in the client I'm representing. You know, I don't like the coworkers I have and certainly don't like my boss. So it's hard to get. You know, you need to believe in what you're doing every day. And a few weeks ago, this little segment, this inspiration segment at the end of this episode, my talk was, you know, ask yourself how much time did you spend doing something you don't want to do? And how much time did you spend doing something you really do want to do? And boy, that next Thursday when that aired, on the Thursday call, do you remember this? Mm-hmm. People were typing in on our regular Thursday webinar. Our members are like, we listened to this and I spent 12 hours yesterday doing something I don't want to do and 8 hours in bed. And the rest of it, I had just a couple hours to myself. And boy, if you can convert, if you can do, I can safely say this with both of us, there's probably maybe an hour, maybe 2 or 3 hours a week that we do stuff we don't want to do.
True.
If that.
True. I agree.
Usually, if I don't want to do something, I delegate it because we have employees or like one of our car needs a new battery right now. And I'm not going to go. I'm just going to call AAA. I'm not going to do it. That's why we buy and sell land. So I don't have to change a battery in a car.
True.
That is very lazy. All kidding aside,
I love it.
You got to believe in what you do. Mm-hmm. Or it's just not, ultimately it's going to break.
Exactly. Don't forget, if you have any questions, you want to learn more about us, check out landacademy.com. And you can always send a note to my team via support@landacademy.com.
Join us next Wednesday for another interesting episode. You are not alone in your real estate ambition. We are Jack and Jill. Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.